Take your Bible and turn over there in the book of Genesis. I've been preaching a lot this year, just out of my devotions, just out of my time that I spend with the Lord in His Word. In the book of Genesis, in chapter number 41, This is the story that comes up after that Joseph has been sold into slavery. He was hated of his brethren. They wanted to kill him. And then they come up with a little better idea. Let's get some money out of it. Let's just sell him. So they sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites took him down there to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar. He became a famous man in Potiphar's house. Everything he touched turned to gold. The Bible said four times in Genesis chapter 39, and the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him. Joseph is a wonderful, wonderful man in the Scripture. I may not much more and get the message introduced this morning, but I'm going to take my time. Amen. Joseph in the Word of God is as good a type of Christ as you'll ever find. Joseph was rejected by his brethren. But later, you talk about Brother Gary, when Jesus comes back, there's going to be some reconciling going on. Amen. He's going to be reconciled to his brethren. Joseph took a Gentile bride. I mean, he's glad Jesus took a Gentile bride. Amen. Joseph was falsely accused. So was Jesus. Joseph was sold for silver. So was Jesus. Amen. Joseph is a wonderful type of Jesus in the Word of God. Nothing in the Word of God is ever recorded negative about Joseph. Nothing. Nothing. I know that Joseph was a man like you and I are a man, but in the typology of Christ, nothing is recorded negative about him. You can find no fault in him. Amen. Think about that for just a moment. Joseph, what a wonderful, wonderful type of Christ. Think about this. Joseph was a special object of his father's love. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. He got that coat of many colors. Amen. His brethren were jealous. The whole nation was saved because of Joseph and his obedience. In Genesis chapter 41, this is after the pit, after Potiphar's house, after the prison. Now, in Genesis chapter 41, you find Joseph, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. 2 years now, Joseph has been in prison. Joseph is in prison for something that he did not do. Y'all remember Potiphar's wife, Mrs. Potiphar, as she had her eye on Joseph. And day after day after day, she would say, lie with me, lie with me. She was trying to entice him the way that Delilah did Samson. The way that those strange women did to Solomon. But Joseph would have no part of it. Amen. And she, day after day, said, lie with me. And then one day she caught him in the house by his cell. And she grabbed his garment, grabbed his coat, and he ran. There's sometimes when you need to stand, and there's other times when you just run. Run for your life. Run for your testimony. And that's what Joseph did. Joseph lost his coat. But Joseph did not lose his character. Joseph was a man that loved God. Joseph was a man that in Genesis chapter 41, a wicked Pharaoh has something to say about Joseph that I want to concentrate on in these services today. I'll show it to you. The Bible said after 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. Behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kind and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kind came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed. And they stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came upon one stalk, rank and good. And 7 thin ears blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he said, hey, you know, that'd be a good way to pray for the White House. That'd be a good way to pray for Congress and the Senate. God, trouble some spirits. Help them to know, Lord, that our trouble is not because somebody didn't put the money in the right place. Our trouble's because our morals are not in the right place. And our faith is not in the right place. He's still God. He can still trouble their hearts just like He troubled Pharaoh's heart. We need to pray for that, don't we? Amen. The Bible said here, came to pass His spirit was troubled. He sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt. That sounds about like what we do in Washington. Call for a magician. Amen. Call for somebody that's looking at the stars instead of somebody that's looking at the Savior. And all the wise men thereof. Pharaoh told him his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. I'm taking my time. Y'all remember back there in the prison, there was a butler and a baker. And both of them had a dream. And Joseph, glory to God, I like this. He was walking with God even in the prison. A lot of people think all them prisoners are the same. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's some men in that prison walking with God closer than even I am today. Amen. They love the Lord. Here's a Joseph in prison walking with God. These two men, the butler and the baker, they have a dream. And the butler, he interprets the butler's dream. And he says, I think it was that 3 days and Pharaoh's going to restore you to the butlership again. You're going to be there again beside the king. And then the baker told him his dream. And he said, yet 3 days, your head's coming off. I'm going to kill you. Amen. And both interpretations were accurate. Can I say something to you this morning? That comes from the Lord's always accurate. Amen. It's always accurate. Notice here now. The Bible said the butler said to Pharaoh, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth. He was mad at his servants. He put me in ward in a captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night. And I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of the dream. And there was with us a young man, I love this phrase, a Hebrew servant. Glory to God, even this wicked butler and this wicked baker could understand that there was a Hebrew that was different than they were. He was a servant, amen, of the Most High God. Watch this now. The Bible said here to the captain of the guard, and we told him, he interpreted us our dreams. Each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. Pharaoh's a pretty smart man. Do you know something today? Listen to me carefully. I've looked at some candidates in the past for the presidency that didn't know everything. Did you know something? That's what we need, somebody that don't know everything. But would be wise enough to surround themselves with somebody that does know. Say amen. And the word of God here is talking about this Pharaoh. He said, send down there and get Joseph. I don't know what God's talking about in these dreams. And perhaps he can help me the way he helped you to understand what God is trying to say. Watch this now. Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself. And he changed his raiment. He's fixing to stand before the Pharaoh of Egypt. And he came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I've dreamed a dream. And there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, glory to God, I like this. He said, it's not in me. It's not in me. You know what we need if we're going to ever have revival in our churches? We need some folk to stand up, some preachers to stand up, some deacons to stand up, some Sunday school teachers to stand up, some of God's people to stand up and say, it ain't in me. It ain't in me. Glory. Look into Him. Watch this. He said, it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood by the bank of the river. Behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and favored, fed in a meadow. Behold, seven other kine came up after them. To save a little bit of time this morning, I'm not going to read the whole story, but here's what's happening. God is letting Pharaoh know that there's going to be 7 years of plenty in the land of Egypt. And then there's going to be 7 years of famine in the land of Egypt. And the famine years are going to consume the plentiful years. Amen. And so God has spoken through the dream to Pharaoh, interpreted it through Joseph. And Joseph now understands that there's going to be plenty. And so when there's plenty, you need to put some back. Would the church say amen? And then when the famine comes, you know, even the Bible teaches us that the ant and the sluggard, they prepare, say amen. There's nothing wrong with being prepared. I'm telling you, God only knows what this nation's going to face before Jesus comes again. We ought to do all that we can to prepare. Let's go on down here just a minute and read a little bit more in the Scripture. The Bible said here, if we come on down, the Bible said, "Let in verse 34, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land. Take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Take 20% of this for the seven plenteous years. Put it back and then let them gather all the food for those years that come. And lay up corn under the land of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the cities. And watch what the Bible said. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, here's my text this morning, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? I want to use that for a text this morning, preach a little while on this subject, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. Can I say this before I pray? The Spirit of God was not just a resident in Joseph's life. The Spirit of God dwells in every believer. But I want to say something this morning. The Spirit of God does not fill every believer. You say, preacher, why not? Because he doesn't want to? No, because we don't want him to. Amen. The Spirit of God wants to, we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, to let God have the steering wheel in our life. Let God have the gas pedal. Let God have the brake. Let God control our lives. That's what the Word of God teaches when it says to be Spirit filled. But listen to me. Joseph was not, the Holy Ghost was not only a resident in his life, he was the president in his life. He was in control of his life. Before I get through with this message today, you'll understand, I believe, a little bit more about that. Amen. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. I say, God, help me to be that man. I say, God, help you to say, help me to be that man. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. Let's pray. Brother Teddy, lead us in prayer, would you please, brother? Yes, amen, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. I want to look at a man in whom the Spirit of God is and show you how that the Lord spoke to my heart as I studied this chapter and I studied some of the previous chapters and got some of these things that as God spoke to my heart. Number one this morning, I want to say this. A man in whom the Spirit of God is a patient man. Joseph is a patient man. You say, preacher, I don't understand where you get that. Let me give you some things this morning. Number one, the Bible said after 2 full years. I want to say this to you, and I'm not being critical. Here's the way we're geared in this society. We don't want to wait 2 full minutes. Amen? But Joseph waited on God for 2 full years. He was in the dungeon. He was in the prison. I tell you, in that day and in that hour, it was not like the prison system of today. Amen. There was not a nice mattress. There was not a pillow. There was not a blanket. There was not three hot meals a day. There was not a commissary. There was not a telephone to call home. Amen. I'm telling you that this man is a man that the wicked person in Pharaoh recognized the Spirit of God is in this man. And number one, he's a patient man. He was willing to wait. Here's a man that's been thrown in the pit. Here's a man that's been falsely accused. Here's a man that's been thrown in the prison. And yet, he will not give up. You know what we need? We need some daddies that'll just keep praying and be patient and wait on God. We need some mamas that'll just keep praying and be patient and wait on God. We need some church members that'll realize, yes, there may come a day when God will fill this place to capacity, but we've got to be patient and wait on God and be faithful to the Lord while we're waiting on Him. Amen. He was a patient man. He was a patient man. Some people, let me give you this. God spoke to my heart last night as I was rereading and thinking about this. We got a lot of marriages in trouble today. You want to know why a lot of marriages get in trouble? I'm just going to tell you. Because they're impatient. They don't understand that mommy and daddy worked for 40 years to get what they have, and they get married and they want it tomorrow. Help me. Amen. I'm telling you, and it'll get you in trouble when you don't wait on the Lord. Amen. It'd be better to drive a car that you can afford and let others think whatever they want to think. Say amen. Live in a house you can afford. Buy the furniture you can afford. Wear the clothes you can afford. And just be patient and wait on the Lord. I'll tell you something right now. We're not doing our children a service. Amen. When they don't have to wait on anything. When we have instant mommies and instant daddies. Amen. I'm telling you, God wants to teach us here. A man in whom the Spirit of God is, he's a patient man. Here's a man that he interpreted the butler's dream. He interpreted the baker's dream. And how many believes when the butler got out that Joseph had a great deal of hope in his heart? Joseph is just thinking, boy, it won't be long now. He's thinking, Brother James, it won't be long. He'll get up there and tell Pharaoh what's going on down here, and I'll be out of here in no time. And another day goes by, and another day goes by, and another day goes by. Let me just tell you something right here, church. That's what a lot of the mega churches are about, instant. You hear what I'm talking about? That's why they're willing to compromise. They're willing to compromise on the old songs. They're willing to compromise on the old Bible. They're willing to compromise on the old standards. But I'm telling you right now, let God build the church and be patient and wait on the Lord. Joseph was a man in whom the Spirit of God was. He was a patient man. Two full years. I'm going to tell you something right now, church. God has blessed us. Amen. We're on the right track and we're headed in the right direction. I'm not a bit concerned about that. I'm going to leave the rest of it up to Him. If we can keep it on the rail and keep it headed in the right direction, the rest of it's up to Him. Jesus said, build it on this rock. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I thank God. That's a promise from the Word of God. From the Savior of the world. He's a patient man. I want to stop right there and say, Lord, help me to be a more patient man. Help me to be more patient with my wife. Oh, you say, preacher, I wouldn't have said that. That's why you're not preaching. Wives, some of you here need to say, Lord, help me to be more patient with my husband. Now, Dr. Rogers, over here, you know, she don't have. She just prays for patience. You'll get that after a while, maybe on the way to the house. Amen. Let me give you something today. We need some patience. And if we're going to be recognized as a woman or a man in whom the Spirit of God is, we need to ask God to help us and give us some patience. Patience with our children. Children, can I say this? I say children. These are young people. They're my children. Amen. Can I tell you, there's times when mom and dad need you to be patient with them too. Say amen. How many moms and dads would admit we don't always get it right? We miss sometimes too. Amen. I tell you what, I'd appreciate around here if you'd be patient with Pastor and let him be patient with you. And we could be recognized one another as men and women in whom the Spirit of God is willing to wait 2 full years. Another day goes by. Joseph doesn't hear anything. Another day goes by. Joseph doesn't hear anything. Can you imagine, Brother Jeff, those men in there that are waiting to stand before the parole board? And they get their hopes up every time. I mean, every time they just come, they'll say, "Preacher, would you pray with me?" And they get their hopes up, and they get their hopes up, and they go before the board, and the board slaps them down again, and slaps them down again, and slaps them down again. But I'm glad, thank God, in God's time, God's way, God's will be accomplished in their lives. Amen. There's a man years ago in Huntington, Pennsylvania. He spoke the Spanish language fluently. He was a witness for the Lord, Brother Sam. He loved God. He asked me one day to pray with him. And I said, "Brother, what are we praying about?" He said, "I'm up for pre-release." He said, "I'm supposed to be released this week." He said, "But God's burdened my heart. I don't think I'm supposed to go." That's crazy. Say amen. And this man, he said, "Preacher, would you pray with me?" I prayed with him. He got up. You want to know how he got up? He got up happy. He got an answer. He got peace in his heart. And he got up. He come in the next morning. And he was a little bit late. I said, "Brother, where you been?" He said, "I went down there, preacher, knowing my flesh, knowing that what God put in my heart yesterday morning, I'd want to wiggle out of it. I'd want to back up on it." He said, "I went down there and signed up for an apprenticeship program so that when my flesh comes along, I can't wiggle out of it. I can't get out of it. I've got to stay the 2 years that God wants me to stay." Now listen, people made fun of him. They made fun of him. His testimony, they made light of it. But guess what happens in a prison? Word gets out. I guarantee you he didn't tell it. I guarantee you probably it was an officer that told it. Do you know that that guy could have went home this week and he chose to stay here? And you know what people started doing? They started listening. And they started getting saved one after another, after another, after another. You say, "Preacher, why would you say the Spirit of God was in that man?" I tell you why. Because he was patient. He wanted the will of God more than he wanted his own will in his life. When we get that way, there'll be some pharaohs in Kingsport saying, "There goes a man in whom the Spirit of God is." There'll be some pharaohs in Church Hill saying, "There goes a man, there goes a woman in whom the Spirit of God is willing to wait." Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. The Word of God said, again I say, wait on the Lord. Well, that's the first one. I've got 7. Amen. I say that with humility. You know why? Because I know that if you weren't praying, you are now. I guarantee it. Amen. You are now. Not only was Joseph a patient man, the brethren were jealous. He was falsely accused. He was forgotten by the butler. But he just continued to wait on God. How many know somebody that got tired of waiting on God? They got tired of waiting on God. They took that step by themselves and they messed up royally. How many say amen right there? I'm going to tell you something right now. The best thing I could say to our young people, as far as a date, as far as a relationship, is you better wait on God. Amen. Because I'm telling you what's the truth. If you miss right there, it's going to be misery for a lifetime. Amen. We need to wait. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. First of all, he's a patient man. Let me give you this second one. You ready? Number 2, he was a faithful man. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" In verse number 12, they said, the butler said, he was a Hebrew servant. Listen to me carefully right here. Listen to me carefully. That tells me something. Joseph was not just faithful. at church. Joseph's in prison. And Joseph is remaining. You say, preacher, how do you know that Joseph was faithful in prison? Let me say this. Here's the main reason. Because the Bible said even in the prison, and the Lord was with him, and even the officer of the guard put him in charge in the prison. I'm telling you, everywhere that Joseph went, people could just see God's got his hand on that boy. God's got his touch on that boy. And God wants to use that. He was faithful, even in the prison. Let me give you something here. Two things, and we'll be done under this right here. Number one, I found out if you go back to Genesis chapter number 37, that Joseph was faithful to his earthly father. Let me say something to you. You might not like what I'm about to say, but that's okay. You're going to have a real hard time being faithful to your heavenly father if you won't be faithful to your earthly father. Have you heard what I just said? There's not enough emphasis in these days put on relationships. The Lord told me if I want to go in this altar and I want to give something to God and I get in there and I remember my brother's got aught against me, Brother Joe's got aught against me. God said, get up, go to your brother, be reconciled to your brother. Now bring your gift. I'm ready to take it. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the way it is in the economy of God. Now listen, Joseph was faithful. Listen to these words. Genesis 37:12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, now, Dad, you know they're already mad at me. You know, Dad, they're jealous because you've made me this coat of many colors. Now, Dad, you know that if I go down there where my brethren are, there's liable to be some trouble. You cannot find that in the King James Bible. Say amen. You know what he said? Here am I. You say, preacher, how's God speaking to your heart right here? Think about this for just a minute. How many remembers Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. God said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. How many remembers that? I'm going to tell you something right now. If I wouldn't say, here I am to my father over there in Jonesboro, then how in the world am I going to convince you that I'd say, here am I to my father up in heaven? Joseph was faithful to his father. He said, preacher, I don't understand the importance of this. Watch what it said. He said, go, I pray thee. See whether it be well with thy brethren, well with thy flocks. Bring me word again. So we sent him out of the vale of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a certain man found him. Behold, he was wandering in the field. The man said, what seekest thou? He said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed the flocks. And to the man said, they are departed hence. They said, let us go to Dothan. Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Who's Joseph remind you of right here? How many remembers when Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem? Knowing good and well, amen, what was waiting on him in Jerusalem. But he said, hey, I've got a father to be faithful to. I realize if I'm faithful to my father will be faithful to me. And here we are. Joseph, he sets out. He's faithful to his earthly father. Secondly, under this point here of a faithful man, he was faithful to his heavenly father. Look at Genesis 39 and verse 9. The Bible said here, how many remembers when Mrs. Potiphar came? Remember? Lie with me. Oh my goodness, I can't talk like a woman. I'm glad I can't. Somebody say amen right there. Let my tongue fall out before I sound like a woman when I'm talking. Amen. I just want us men to try to sound like men. Say amen. And the ladies to try to sound like ladies. Amen. I guess some can't help it, and that's all right if you can't help it, I guess. Amen. But if you can help it, amen, you ought to help it. Lie with me. That's pretty good, wasn't it? Lie with me. Oh, Joseph. That's too good. I was impersonating, you see. I could only hear it. Do you ever, when you're reading your Bible, just try to stop and hear? I mean, just read. You can read, but then you can just read. I mean, buddy, whatever it is coming on, it's a coming on right here from Mrs. Potiphar to Joseph. You say, preacher, how do you know he was faithful to his heavenly Father? Watch it with me, and I'll be done. Let's go here, Genesis chapter 39. Are you there? The Bible said here, in verse number 9 of chapter 39, after this woman comes again and again, Joseph said, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he, Potiphar, kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. It sounds like the garden, don't it? In other words, Potiphar says, you can have anything in the house except my wife. In the garden, God says, you can have any tree in the garden except this tree. That's all you got to do is put an exception for most people. Say amen. I dare you to tell somebody you can have anything you want to eat except chocolate. How many knows what they want more than anything now? Chocolate. This is what he said. Listen to me carefully. How do you know he was faithful to his heavenly Father? He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I'm telling you that Joseph, when he was pushed up against the wall, he wasn't so worried about this sin that would take place against his own body. How many knows that's what adultery is? He wasn't so worried about this sin that would be against her body. He wasn't so worried about this sin that would be against her husband. He wasn't so worried about his sin that would be against this household. But he was worried about his sin that would be against God. Joseph, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. Let me say something to parents if you haven't already learned it. It took me a while to learn it. I wanted my kids to think I was always watching them. And I wanted them to think that I always had the reins. How many knows, Mom and Dad, we lose the reins? How many knows that? Say amen. They grow up and they make their own decisions. But I tell you, we'd be wise to teach our children, when I'm not watching, I'm talking to the one who is. When I don't know, I'm talking to the one who does know. Train our children not so much to fear Mom and Dad, but to fear the God of heaven and respect and revere Him. Joseph was faithful to his earthly father, but he was faithful to his heavenly Father. I could tell you story after story after story. I don't even have to go to the pew about pulpits where a man of God once stood. Once was faithful, and he fell. Story after story after story. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. There's something more important in this pulpit than this preacher being faithful to you all. That's important, don't get me wrong. But more important is that I be faithful to him. If I'm faithful to him, Brother David, and my back is ever pinned against the wall, God give me grace to say, how can I do this great sin and sin against God? Amen. Nothing wrong with worrying about the effect or concerned about the effect it would have on our church. But I tell you what will get me out of it, not the effect on the church, but sinning against God. Sinning against God. And one of the things we need to remember is we need to try to keep ourselves out of a situation where we'd be pressed against the wall. The Bible said, flee the very appearance of evil. All through my life, I've heard this. Don't you trust your kids? Don't you trust your kids? And I've said this. I don't trust their flesh. Let me give you something. I don't trust my own. He
He said, "Preacher, what did you just say? How many knows what I just said? If I don't trust my own stinking flesh." And by the way, the Apostle Paul, a great man of God, said we have no confidence in the flesh. And so Joseph, when he might have scratched his head, he didn't take time to scratch. He just looked at her and said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And he ran. And she grabbed his coat. He ran right out of his coat. Think about that. The Bible tells us to flee youthful lust. Flee the very appearance of evil. There's a time to stand, and having done all to stand. And there's another time, Brother Dennis, to run for your life. Run. Run. He said, "Preacher, I don't understand the importance of this message." Well, you will. Brother Randy, up there in that holler, I'm glad I'm out of Pennsylvania around a bunch of folk that know what a holler is. Amen. And folk up there need to know there's a man up there in whom the Spirit of God is. Brother Randy, it might not be a woman that backs you up to the wall. It might be a stinking man with a stinking attitude. And you'd like to break his stinking nose 40 ways from Sunday. And God wants us to come out of that victorious. Say amen right there. I want to keep Brother Randy on my side. Amen. Now that's wisdom. If you don't recognize it, say amen. I want him on my side. I walked in Brother John's one day to visit. I said, "Get up out of that chair, Brother John. Let's fight." Brother John reached over beside that rocker and said, "I'd rather just shoot you." He didn't have much fight left in him. Amen. Amen. God wants us to be men and women that the Pharaohs of this world would say, "A man in whom the Spirit of God is." Brother Ralph, you and Brother John, where you at? Brother John back there hiding behind Brother Michael. Brother John, I've heard you guys say it a dozen times, that old Brother Joe, and I'm not lifting him up, I'm lifting his Jesus up. They've said it a dozen times. Everybody lives around Brother Joe knows where he stands. Ain't that a good thing? Say amen. You know what that's saying? They know there's a man in whom the Spirit of God is. That's the way I want to live my life. I want Charity and Elizabeth and Amanda and Jeremy say, "I have a dad in whom the Spirit of God is." God help me to be a patient man. But God help me to be a faithful man. There's five more. Y'all want to go to them or just wait till tonight? I'm out of gas. I used to preach till the Lord got done. I started going to prison. I preached till the state said I was done. 5 years ago, I had a pretty bad wreck. Now I just preach till my body says I'm done. And my body just said I'm done. I love y'all, church. The greatest testimony, Brother John, this church could have. Ain't much folk up there in whom the Spirit of God is. Ain't that what you want Owen to grow up, brother? Say, "I have a daddy and a mommy in whom the Spirit of God is." Yeah. Not talking about the latest fashion. Amen. The temporal. We're talking about the things of God that are eternal. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this man called Joseph. Lord, I pray this morning that, God, you'd take this message and burn it down deep in our hearts. Help us, our Father, that, Lord, over there at Antioch, they didn't call themselves Christians. Lord, it was the world around them that called them Christians. They were noted as being like Christ. Oh God, give us moms and dads and sons and daughters homes that would be noted for being like Christ. A church. Brother Sam mentioned that home a while ago, Lord, where the windows are broke out. God, I'm already trying to figure out what we might do to help. God, how we need to be patient men. How we need to be faithful men. Help me, Lord, to be faithful to my earthly father. Help me to be faithful to my heavenly father. God, I know that somewhere along the way, when David fell into sin, he lost his desire for the Word of God, his delight in the Word of God. And that fellowship, Lord, went out. God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. God, I pray that you'd just take our church, Lord, and Lord, it's your church. You died for it. You bought it. You paid for it. Help our young people. God, they're facing so much in this generation. God, it won't be long till somebody down at the city hall in Kingsport will be discussing whether we need to legalize pot in Kingsport. They've already said it's all right to get drunk. God, they're saying a lot of things it's all right. But God, you said they're all wrong. God, would you help us to be men and women in whom the Spirit of God is?